we should be awarding that money.
Let us know how it goes. I mean, if there's any, you get, everybody's way over budget or some weird thing happens and...
At this point, until we're done doing the technical evaluation, the team isn't allowed to see the dollars.
Sure, okay.
So I can't answer that.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just, if you, for whatever reason, it gets delayed because of a disqualification or, you know, stuff happens.
Yes, and so as soon as the plan is the board, we have a few issues that we're working through to not prevent us from awarding.
Who from your office is working with her on this? Versage?
On the actual
contract evaluation.
The overall
coordination of it will be John.
It will be John.
Okay.
It's right now we're trying to get
John
contract awarded, and then we'll be working on a model trip schedule.
Right.
Right now, March 12th.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because I'd like to get that.
The March 12th is set. It is set.
Verdict's on board. Everybody's ready to. We can get our tickets?
Yes.
Okay, that's good because it's, you know, spring break and all the crap that goes on in March.
Yes, March 12th is a good date. We will be there the week.
That was Sunday, right? So we're going to fly down on Sunday.
Yes,
right.
Work
okay.
Monday.
Yeah, work Monday. Yeah, fine. Okay.
March 12th is a Monday.
Yeah, we'll be working on the 12th.
But we're flying down on, okay, then the 11th.
On the 11th,
okay.
On that Sunday.
Okay, all right.
And it's a busy week. I anticipate that it's going to be a busy week because our real focus initially was egress for John Day and McNary, but we're going to throw the Bonneville spillway model in as well. So we're now going to be working with three spillway models.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bonneville, or actually John Day is the pain because you got to drive all the way down there to it. But.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to do all three of them. That'll be fine.
Bonneville, John Day, and McNary?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be running from, you'll be running.
Hmm.
That's okay.
Yes. Question?
Yes.
About the rocks in below Bonneville?
Yes.
They're on the apron?
There are rocks on the apron. We are removing the rocks between the battery blocks and the flow deflectors. We are not removing the rocks on the apron.
Okay. Is there any chance that there might be some, all right, so it's below the apron, so you won't have to repair anything once the rocks are removed? Hopefully.
No. It depends on what you find.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
How big a hole?
How big a hole?
We have three holes on the stilling basin that we're concerned about between the deflectors and the baffle blocks, primarily bay 9, 12, mm-hmm. and 14. Our contract was written so that rock removal in those three bays is very carefully done. We anticipate divers in the water every day, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't carry
we
concrete
do not
down.
Know what the condition of bay 9 is. We're hopeful that it is no worse or not significantly worse than it was the last time we went away.
So what are we going to know before we go down to Erdick about this, about the condition of this?
Bay 9?
Yeah, the worst areas you're going to get at first?
Yes, well, it won't be the first bay, it'll be the second bay. We decided we're going to do 8 first, let the contractor test his procedures, not
sure.
In a hole that's not in a bay that's got big holes in it.
Right, okay.
And then we're going to do 9.
Okay.
Which is the area that we're most concerned about.
Right.
So we should have that information late February.
Prior to our trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Of course.
Do we have to have any concern about the Spring Creek release, or has that been fixed with reprogramming?
It's reprogrammed.
We don't
March.
Have to worry about a March spill.
Two more years.
All right.
I have a question.
Because we couldn't do it.
Yeah. Right.
So, have you guys talked about a fallout plan in case the contractor, you know, something breaks or something happens and they can't finish the work, and there's still rocks in there, and we start spill season? Are they going to continue, and we're not going to spill, or are we going to spill, and they're not going to remove the rocks? Have you guys talked about that?
Depends. We've batted around concepts. We have to remove the rocks that are in the 14-foot deflector base. Which is why we're doing those first. And then we'll move over to the 7-foot deflectors.
Okay. So, and I don't know, maybe you said this, the schedule to get into the water when the contractors, assuming all goes well with the award and everything?
My expectation is that by the time we approve various submittals, it's 7 to 10 days, they should be moving floating plant in. There's a lot of submittals. For example, a dive plan has to be completely approved before they can move in. We've got to know how they're going to anchor off of the project. That has to be approved. So those submittals have to be in our hands and approved before they'll move in.
Okay. Would there be, and for the agencies, would there be, you know, at some point, you know, towards the end of February when we have information on Bay 9 and before you go down there, having a conference call at least or something, do we want to?
One of the things that we're going to be doing for coordination from a management perspective is a weekly summary of status, and that can easily be shared.
That'd be good.
Okay.
From a water side.
But it's, that's good. We could have that.
If we're tweaking spill patterns because of the equipment location, you'll see all that information as well.
Wow.
So we'll be doing an update weekly. We haven't picked the date for that update yet, but if something comes up out of that update, you want to do a conference call, we can do that.
Okay.
It cannot be at 1:30. We will be having a conference call with the contractor every day at 1:30.
Oh, okay.
To discuss operations and dealing with water.
And what's the number for that?
Just kidding. I don't know yet. It's actually, I don't know it off the top of my head. It's identified. We have the number in the contract.
I'm just kidding.
Are there any tailwater operations you would anticipate impacting the Chum operation? So, for example, the current Bonneville tailwater operation for Chum has a floor of 12 feet. I'm just wondering, as far as how this process is going and the contractor's needs with any tails, water elevations, are you aware of how that's being addressed? Or
well, we told him the tailwater would be 12 feet or higher.
Get a big jackhammer in there and create some more spawning ground.
For example, would they be amenable to going lower?
Yes.
Okay.
With once they're in.
Okay.
Why would we go?
They were given the range. They were told it could vary.
Okay.
For their operations, we put BPA RCC. They're supposed to get jerked all over the water.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's how we put it in
great.
There.
Thank you.
And that's why we're talking daily.
Great.
One of the issues that we'll need to coordinate is if we get a clip for the corner collector to come open. If we have to spill and we have to move equipment, we'll have to shut it down long enough to allow the contractor to evacuate. If we have a high volume river.
But not for the corner collector.
If we have to get his equipment out, he...
Yeah, I understand. You said corner collector, and that caught my attention.
Well, the corner collector, if it comes on because of pelt passage or something...
Right, that shouldn't be an issue.
If it comes on and then we get a high river... We'll need to shut it off long enough to allow the barge to move in out.
Understand.
But the tug will be up there with him, so it won't need to go through.
I'm just saying, those are the things we wrote in the spec. Not a problem.
We have two powerhouses.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You can always use John Day flood control.
Yeah.
Anything else for Lori?
That's right.
500 cat.
She can go back to reading contracts or proposals.
Or writing them.
They've got they closed last night at 4. They are reviewing proposals and hope to have an award by Monday morning.
Do you have at least a couple of them?
She can't say.
You can't tell us you have more than
that. She said proposals.
I'm hoping that was plural.
We will be reviewing proposals.
Okay.
We're hoping not to have to do it Sunday.
Okay.
So I would say more than likely.
Yeah.
But that's just a guess.
I guess if you haven't reviewed that long, I guess it happens.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Lori.
If you have more questions, you now have my phone number.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yes, I do. There's some agendas if anybody wants a copy. So go back to the, let's, who's on the phone?
Ann Setter joined to listen for the avian stuff.
Yeah. And Lisa Wright here.
So I have one.
Natalie Richards.
Okay, go around the room. Brad Eppard.
Jim Roth, Northwest Power and Conservation Council.
Doug Bowes, CORE.
Paul Schmidt, Environmental and CORE. Joan Skidmore, BPA Fish and Wildlife.
Christine Peterson, Bonneville.
Nick Lane, BPA.
Trevor Condor, NOAA.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Tom Lawrence Crickfit.
Wow, BPA outnumbering everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, there will be Sean.
The CORE, that's pretty amazing.
Tackley will be down in a little while, and hopefully before we get to that, other PMs I think will be there. No one's told me they wouldn't. So Natalie's on the phone, but she'll be down when the time comes. So okay, any additions to the agenda? Anybody want to add anything?
I did want to talk about that Erdic trip. And the dates on that. Sounds like we got it pretty well covered. It would be good to have an agenda on that, so it just a lot of ways out, but that time flies by when you're having fun. You know, we're still having trouble with the money issue.
That has been, it's been processed, I don't know where it is in the process, but it's in the mill.
I've been told we have nothing, so
yeah.
At this point.
I know it, you know, there were a stack of members that got caught up in contracting and they were sitting on them, but they're I think that they've all been signed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't see something on that sooner than a week or so, let me know what's going on.
Okay. So Erdic trip agenda is going to be, sounds pretty extensive, so it's going to include, well, is the McNary one TSP? I know John Day is TSP related. What's the McNary?
McNary was closure gate was one of the issues.
So that is probably.
Right. Anything else, Ann? Ann Setter?
Whatever.
Okay. She's
no longer in that
group. We'll get it
figured out. She's at 20 days, is that trip going to be?
It'll be probably Monday. Sounds like working Monday through Thursday at least.
So I'll fly down Sunday.
Yeah, fly down Sunday, probably fly back Friday.
Okay.
Is it mostly TSP, though?
Anything else?
I thought really the reason for it was McNary.
She said Fleece Owen.
Or not McNary, but...
John Day.
Right. It was Bonneville. It was the original reason of that was because of that shelf, that cantilevered shelf out there on the apron, and whether that would break, and if it did, what would we do for a spill pattern? So we're going to set up an emergency spill pattern.
Have done that.
It's yeah, sort of, but not as dry out. It's and now it's morphing into a bigger issue, I think, for Bonneville. It's several contingency issues, and. What else was called? Was John Day was one of them?
John Day is, she said egress, but I think
that was an egress.
I think that's talking about turbine turbine.
Yeah, it's turbine. It's powerhouse egress. That's right. Those are kind of gas causes.
Yeah. Okay.
Bonneville's, I think, the most important part of that.
That's most interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. For those that don't know, John Rearsich from the Bonneville Project is filling in behind Dennis Schwartz for 120 days while we get out a permanent announcement.
How do you spell that?
R-E-R-E-C-I-C-H.
If you get any of the Bonneville reports, I think his name's on there.
Yeah, his name's on the agenda here.
Oh, I see it. All right.
So, he's one of the project bios out there, or was. So... Okay, so let's go on to avian predation. Paul Schmidt's here to provide an update on these. So, Paul?
Yeah, I saw this action item from last meeting. I don't know if there was something specific that you wanted there. But
Yeah, that was from the December 5th, where I wasn't at the December 5th one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what exactly was information was being requested.
Okay. Well, okay, just run down through everything that's current.
Hang on, do you remember, Gary? Or?
Well, I think one thing I was asking about was not here, where we're at. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest thing.
Are you going to make your deadline?
And the other that I keep bringing up is progress on San Francisco Bay. Mm-hmm. Those are two issues.
So, talk about the islands first. Mount here is on schedule for the island itself. They had difficulties for a while during the cold weather with the ice and all that.
Right.
They switched to 24-hour operations, and so they've been able to maintain the schedule. You know, there's been all kinds of difficulties in the water and everything else.
Yeah, they're the only living thing out there right now.
So, but it is going well. There's some contract mods that we presented to them soon that will extend the completion date of the whole project, but not the island. It doesn't affect the island itself. In the EA process, some environmental groups were concerned about wilderness characteristics and wanted to see us do some vegetation.
No
planting.
Square islands.
Well,
that's probably more vegetation.
They didn't want to see a man-made looking island from roads or vistas in the area. So to help alleviate that, we agreed to do some vegetation, tule, cattail plantings around the island to kind of help screen.
Sure.
Yeah, so you can't see the edges.
So it's got to be shallow.
The square edges.
Yes. Too.
We don't want anything.
But not coyotes to get to, which is kind of interesting as the water recedes.
Yeah.
Build a boat out there a little ways from the. Put tules and then a moat.
Crocodiles.
A meandering boat. Yeah.
It doesn't feel natural that way.
Right. I think just we're going to go with the patchy look.
Some of those pythons.
Yeah.
So I guess an island in the shape of a castle is not.
So a drawbridge.
Isn't that what it is? The shape? Isn't the design?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So you're ready for the first reservation?
The settlement estimates for building this island from lake bed to the surface of 12 feet. So we're expecting 6 feet of settlement. But we don't know the rate of
it could disappear. Yeah.
Well, where'd the island go? Crap.
Where'd that damn island go? Well, how does it look now?
Shows that it gets much firmer down there.
Is it solid from the bottom up, or is it on
like? Yeah, it's solid.
Yeah, it's laid on several layers of fabric.
But it's not floating. It's not on pilings. It's not floating. It's a real.
It's an actual island.
Ready for business. So turn show up.
April.
Good.
If they show up.
What do you mean if they show up? You're the one who says they will.
No. I never said that they wouldn't show up.
But you said they
know that.
I have the notes back here.
You can look. You'll never see it. I just want to make sure we had the credit for them. I didn't care if they were there, and I just want the credit for them being there. That's all I was looking for, is the credit.
Okay. Thanks.
So San Francisco Bay, Sondra, I've been working with San Francisco District and kind of reviving. At one point, we had a draft EA, draft management plan, and blah, 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 with East Bay Parks in the Hayward site. And so Sondra's been kind of reviving that whole discussion with them.
How are they taking that?
I think it's going well. They just have a lot of interest in us being fully responsible for
money.
Payments.
Yeah, they want you on the hook for the
oil. Please send money.
And gold control, and in that area, gold control has to be done by Wildlife Services, so we have to look at some kind of long-term contract with them.
Right.
It is. But they're already doing work there to protect the eastern colonies nearby there, so it should be easy to just kind of
expansion of the effort, Good news. Thank you.
Yeah, and as a result of Mount here getting filled, we're going to reduce East Sand Island this year by another half acre to 1.5.
Which is that the minimum? Where were we going to?
Well,
1.5, wasn't it?
The minimum from the FIOP was 1.5 to 2. So we will hit that.
We're there.
The additional acreage that we're doing in San Francisco will also go that additional
half.
Half. So eventually we'll end up at one acre.
Oh, you think you can get down to 1 acre?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Still got the bat?
Yeah, and you're going to lose.
See?
Because I know the guys who do the counting. Mike, change the numbers. Change the numbers.
So is there an update on the cormorant stuff, the cormorant plan? Or?
So, the last year we've been working on a multi-agency working group to develop a draft plan, and we're hoping to finalize that plan by March, and then about a month from now we are going to issue a notice of intent to do an EIS. So the plan we've been writing in an EIS format will just roll over into our NEPA document. And if everything goes well, we'll go ahead and issue that draft EIS in April. And that will allow for 60 or 90 day comment periods, whatever. I don't know yet what our public review time is for those, but the pace is set up to have a decision done by December. So, we have some interim questions about how effective we can be at moving a portion of the birds off of East Sand Island. So we're doing a research experiment this year to expanding on what we did last year, where we put up a privacy fence out there and divided off 15% of the colony and applied human presence out there to just kind of keep them off of there, and that worked. But now we're expanding that to the fence is going to be placed where we would be displacing 62% of the colony along a longer stretch. And
60% of colony.
We met with American Bird Conservancy and Audubon before we wanted to implement this, because we wanted to make sure that they weren't going to raise issues. So they wrote us letters and thought that we needed to write an EA for this research experiment. So I think we set the land speed record for writing an EA, and it went out yesterday on the website. And
wow.
It's off the 30-day public review. So.
Wow. You didn't just say no impact?
There's impact, but there's a lot of questions about the degree of those impacts.
Right, yeah, so it's research. I don't know.
Yeah. Keyword is significant. Right, Fonzie.
Yes.
There's an S in Fonzie. Yeah. So in the mitigation measures, we have kind of this adaptive management plan where as we start the dissuasion process, we have a weekly check-in with the agencies that want to be involved and include the NGOs. To kind of help us assess a level of significance.
Well, the significance
really
to what?
Define more.
Yeah.
Than, there's too many unknowns there. So.
Okay. What's the, where's the EA posted?
It's on our website.
Okay.
We put out a public notice yesterday. It'll go in the newspapers today. But if you go to the Portland District website on the main page, it's down in the right hand corner, there's a link right there. So.
Get the Columbia Basin Bulletin to put it in their weekly.
They called me yesterday.
Yeah, they're Barry.
Barry.
Yeah. So that, it'll get the word out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, could you clarify what the action is? Is the action the research or the action is the work? I'm not understanding what.
Both. Well, the long term plan is to reduce the number of birds on the same island. And we've done a number of types of testing to see what it would take to move birds. And one was this big pond liner experiment. The birds don't like to be on the pond liner, so they actually put it on their habitat. We tried these green lasers, flashing them, that disturbed them for a while, but then they got used to it.
And you put the green lasers on rifles.
Yeah, a lot of people want
a lot more effective.
The bald eagles, I guess.
By using this fence and dividing off the colony. We're just going out there and just basically shooing birds off before they nest. And it doesn't take very much of that. They're pretty susceptible to human disturbance. So we've taken 62% of the area that they've been nesting, and we're going to put up this fence and keep them off of 62% of the area that they're nesting. Now there's still a lot of habitat out there, so we expect a lot of these birds to just go on the other side of the fence, but it pushes them out on the western tip, which makes them more susceptible to climate disturbance. It's maybe not their preferred habitat, so we're going to kind of do that to see what the reaction is. And we're going to radio 150 birds and see if they leave or go somewhere else in the estuary.
Do they feed on the island? I mean, like in the shallows around the island, or is that just their base and they fly around?
They forage from there.
All over. And you just hope they come back and poop on the island so they can
find
them.
If you go out in the morning and if you're at like Astoria Bridge, you just see these waves of birds going up river. There's a lot of foraging up around the Bryce Island and the Rare Sands and up in there. And even though they go in the lower part of the estuary too.
Brad, your phone. You're being paged.
So we're hoping that this experiment really leads us to, honing in on our alternatives for the management. At this point, the working groups has agreed to kind of look at 50% as our preferred alternative.
50% reduction?
Yeah.
Of the population?
East Santa population out of the estuary.
Mm. Take a look at that.
Yeah. Out of the estuary.
Out of the estuary. Otherwise, we don't gain anything.
Okay. Anything else for Paul?
Paul, you need to go to Oregon.
Well, they're not allowed to go back in Washington.
They need to go north.
North is where they came from. Send them home.
Okay.
They're Oregon's birds.
Thank you, Paul.
Now.
Why are you trying to give them us?
Oregon's kind of big nippy.
They're already in there. BY. Okay.
Yes. But they're new. They came from you.
That's not the point. Where they live now.
As you guys know, Bonneville co-funds that.
Yeah.
About a third of that funding project. So hopefully we'll see, as they move more. Most all of you here have been here long enough to know, these part of this colony originated on Rice Island with the term colony. And so as we alleviated habitat on rice, those cormorants, along with the terns, move to East Sand. But the goal is, the ultimate goal is to get their diet to be more marine derived than salmonid derived. And the theory is the further west these
more
birds are, the more likely their diet will be more composed of marine product than salmonid.
For terns.
Returns and but
cormorants aren't doing the same thing. They all fly back up the river.
But for cormorants, we have noticed though, if you read the stuff, the more west they are, the more diet marine derived.
Yeah.
2011 was a unique situation in that because of the high flows, the salt wedge was, we didn't have much marine derived prey base in 2011 because we just didn't have much salt and tidal influence due to the flows.
It's been a consistent increase in false shrimp diet for years on those guys.
It'll be interesting to see in 2012 because it's shaping up to be more of an
average
water and maybe hopefully we'll not see this trajectory going this way. We'll see it flattening out, which would be consistent with the theory of 2011.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't seen the population of cormorants hasn't shifted that much in the last 5 years or so, more than that, 10 years actually.
Well, Gary, as you know, the primary composition of the salmonid proportion is suburlings derived from below Bonneville hatcheries.
Lower Columbia River hatcheries.
Yeah. Yeah. Careful.
Willamette.
Yeah.
We don't have the whole idea or identification of all those.
Well, I think they do have the Willamette proportion. I was just reading the 11 report.
to go back.
Well, it depends on what's tagged.
Yeah,
or their lack of tagging the water.
Lack of tagging.
Because they don't tag in the water.
We're tagging more and more now.
Yeah, 156,000 is
200,000.
Is it?
Well, no, 100. 100 are going to be pit tagged.
Yeah.
Other 100 coated water tagged.
Yeah. We're buying 156,000 pit tanks.
Well, that the other 60 are going to go to the Detroit. So yeah,
to get shooted through the turbines.
Yeah,
my theory.
Both pit
tanks are mine. My theory, I don't know if you agree, Gary. Is the 2011 the year that had sub-yearly releases?
One of
them
all
trained in elsewhere.
Come on in.
Physiologically.
My dad was a hatchery manager for that group. I spent too much
time. Yeah, it was high.
And they had no one around there.
My dad.
Really?
He's
that happened in your strong
year. That's not the only year we've seen that high mortality rate on Falls.
You know, the efficiency
went on for several years now. Last year was pretty high.
But if you look at the timeline on the diet composition, it has significantly increased to be sub-yearlings over the last 5 years. It has not been consistent early in the from 97 to 2002 or 3, there was more, much more of a proportion. It's been since about 5 to present that every year you see more and more of an increase of sub-yearlings.
I've got a series of memos on that that I can probably.
I know you, but for the education of the people that are going to those sub-yearlings,
you know, they're really the ones that are being hit. Anybody who's interested in Willamette, I think, would be interested in management.
Right. Because we have a number of sub-yearling life histories
not just
in the Willamette.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've got to be careful there.
Well, the Springers behave like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Their spring Chinook have
they come out of
sub-yearling.
They can. Yeah.
It's reservoir
not,
reared or stream reared? Both.
Ocean or stream.
It's not exclusively sub-yearling life history, but it's definitely,
more so than
for a spring Chinook, it's definitely a unique
character. Yeah, different than the Columbia. Anyway.
Yeah.
What has to do with Willamette Falls and being able to
get over
get above the fall before it dries up. That's the theory anyways, if you listen to Chapman and people from a long, long time ago.
Okay.
Yep. That's my question. That point there originally.
All right. What's next? Next, this will be short. Lower River Study, we have an SRWG on Monday. It starts at 1. It will be, it's here in the building.
It's on the third floor.
It's on the third floor. I think it's just around the corner. I think it's 3J. Oh.
And what are we going to be talking about there? Going over the results from 11?
Some of the results, some of the questions that Tom submitted.
Yeah,
we'll be discussing those.
And someone has to be.
Well, if it weren't for Tom, we wouldn't be even having the meeting.
No, I know.
So thank you, Tom, for submitting something.
Are you coming, Tom?
Oh, I'll be there. I already had a delightful meeting yesterday.
You better be there.
Skalski and Beeman and those guys.
Oh, gosh, I hope.
Beeman's not. Skalski will be here.
Oh, God, really?
John needs to be there, too.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Haysecker.
I don't know.
I haven't heard from him. They're trying to get him to come. I don't know. We'll see.
So yeah, so it's we'll go kind of quickly review the results, cover the issues that Tom had sent out, having to do with fish collection and rejection, and then survival of the tail race groups, and then there was another.
That's right.
So
I've got
So it's Monday here, 6 o'clock, 1 o'clock, February 6th. That's where the six came from.
We're going to have to talk to you later.
Okay, biologist talking to me about math. Oh, I can't wait. This is delightful. There's this funny interval slide. What is
this? You know,
this
thing about 1 plus 1.
I know.
They need it.
That's your problem. There's no pluses in these getting cut.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next. The transmitter downsize.
Oh, good.
Before we leave that other one, Gary, I looked into the reports you asked yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
About the John Day draft report. It's saw this morning. I'm supposed to have that. It's in the final stages of editing, editing. So I should see it by.
Okay.
It says the 24th, but.
So one question that came up yesterday in our delightful Accord meeting was, at some point we talked about trying to get most of the data like this, at least the single releasers, that stuff, placed somewhere where people would have access to it. Where is that? nowhere, infancy, crib death. Just kind of curious.
I would say infancy, probably, maybe a little before that. It's the infrastructure for doing it is being developed, and the access and stuff like that is being developed. So, you know, if people want data, they just need to ask and tell me what specifically they want and what form. And so, and then I can get that for them.
Cool.
You said that, John Day, that's a 2010 report, and you were thinking when?
The 2010, yeah, would be, yeah, it's not in time for our meeting.
Yeah,
but
so we're going to need something sooner.
Yeah. And so, so I'll see if I can get the, the untechnical edited draft from them.
We can get from, we're going to have to go with. So,
yeah.
Because that's, you know, I'm hoping for 11, too.
The 11 reports, the draft reports for the 11 are also in the final technical review thing. Tom, would you like me to get you a pen?
No, this is much more fun, actually. With my pens at home.
Like a golf pencil.
Swiss Army knife. They're always functional.
Best thing about that knife.
I know.
But,
they work awesome.
So those reports also this month. Okay. JSAT's downsize project. It's progressing nicely. I think they've either received or are about to receive the second version of the ASIC, and they'll start testing on that. And then with what they find out, we'll change the design, everything, and go to what should be the final version. One of the things that we're going to be doing here in the next couple of months on that project is getting some of these components patented, so that we're protected, so that someone can't run out and see our battery and then patent it, because the patent laws are changing to. From first to invent to first to file.
First to file.
And so we're pursuing that vigorously.
Want to file.
And so,
yourself. Otherwise,
yeah. Yeah. So.
So one other thing on that, Brad, at the fish tagging forum meeting that we had last month, Brad gave a really good presentation on the JSATs transmitters and the whole JSATs project. It's posted on our website if you want to see the slides. It's worth looking at. Anyway, Brad did a good job, and John Beeman was there to talk about how USGS uses acoustic telemetry, and the PUDs also were there, Mid-Columbia PUDs, talking about their use of acoustic telemetry for survival work. It's all posted on the website.
Okay.
And next week, we're at the fish tagging forum. We're going to be talking about genetic markers. So we're getting a bunch of geneticists in to talk about the use of genetic tags.
Oh, that'll be a barn burner.
Yeah, hatchery folks and others, university people.
Yeah.
One of the things I almost forgot to mention that we just funded was as part of the downsize project is to start looking at. Injection, and so taking some fish and starting to made some what we think the tag is going to look like, some dummy tags.
Is this what Dick Ledgerwood was talking about?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what Dick Ledgerwood was talking about.
These aren't
real tags. These are just basically
Sham tags. All he had to.
So Krista Woodley's doing this work. And it'll just feed into the design stuff. So she's looking at some different gauge needles. I
look at your reports when they come out, but can't really make heads or tails out of what's going on. Where are we with the battery? I mean, as far as, you know, there are some, I've seen examples.
They're right now, what they're working on with the battery is there are starting discussions with manufacturers. And so they're at a place where they think they have it down.
With diameter.
It's just shy of 3 millimeters in diameter.
Right. Okay.
After the length, I think is 5 or 6 millimeters
five
long.
By three.
Yeah.
But they're going with that form rather than a coating form.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
That.
Yep.
Okay. ASIC is on its way. What about the pinger? Is that?
They're still looking into exactly how to do it, and And the reason the reports are admittedly vague, but that's intentional.
I understand that. I know. It's hard to.
Yeah.
Show pictures and stuff that for people like me who can't read.
No, it's not because of that. It's because of the patent issue.
Proprietary information.
I understand. That's why I'm asking. Yeah. And forget everything I heard. After
you know, there was an acoustic element they found that is. You know, the one that we have is basically a can shape. You know, it looks like that. They found another one that's it's longer, but it's in it, but it's thinner. It's like a millimeter in diameter, and three or four millimeters long. Mm-hmm. And the difference is how the sound is transmitted from it. And so this thin one transmits from the ends. The fat one transmits out, and the beam pattern. Or the shape of the sound when it comes off is pretty narrow on these, and so they were last month when I talked to them, they were still looking into that one as a potential, but
okay. For downsizing.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
We're still on track to hopefully be able to use the smaller tag in 2014.
Yep.
Injectable.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh.
That's the key.
Yep. Okay.
Awesome.
So move on to number 6, adult pit detectors. Yeah, nothing really to talk about here. So.
No, we can skip over that.
All right, wait a minute. Nice try.
In lieu of setting up yet another meeting for everyone, I did you a favor and figured we'd make the most of our time here today. Yeah.
This is what we're talking about?
Yeah. And so I asked Brad to factor in a little extra time to talk about.
You're not on the short list.
So what is going around right now is kind of a summary of the various alternatives that the team's looking at, and just some considerations for each of those. There's also the next kind of set is from Pacific States. It's some conceptual drawings of some count station alternatives, which is kind of their preferred approach, and some rationale follows that on pros and cons for various configurations that we're looking at. And then I gave you some just overview drawings of the dowels, north and east ladders, kind of highlighting where the various alternatives are, just so you're going through some of these and trying to remember where Weir 154
is. Your large drawings are just for Weir.
Just for reference.
Probably just reference.
So, one to, I guess, kick off the discussion, because not everyone's been in the loop on this, is the original intent of this and the scope of this alternative study was to look both at John Day and the dowels concurrently. And through some kind of internal discussions and discussions with Gary and Richie, we decided to focus for right now on the dowels only. We're hoping that we'll save some time, although we're still looking into to see if we can expedite the schedule based on that. I don't know if anyone wants to have some discussion about that reduction in scope or move on to discussing some of the alternatives.
So is it's focusing on the dowels first, or is it focusing on the dowels exclusively?
Focusing on the dowels for now.
For now.
Yeah.
And then see how if I mean, it
you
makes
get
sense
something in
to
and
put it
works.
There first.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're trying. We're still pushing hard for 13.
And
for the jumbo,
probably just on.
The second part again. You have that list of alternatives in front of you. You don't need to go into all the details of all the various alternatives, but generally, looking at the east ladder, you're looking at either overflow weir alternatives. One way or another, either 154, which is that weir that moves in and out, somehow redesigning that, or conventional concrete overflow weirs, in which there's essentially four passage routes for fish over the weirs. You got the two submerged orifices and then the overflow portion. And probably between two and three weirs to get the kind of detection efficiency that we're looking at. And the other main alternative is going into the count station like what's been done at McNary and have two antennas in the count slot, which would require some modifications to the count station to accommodate that. At the north ladder at the Dalles, you have the overflow weir option, the count station option, and then the vertical slot weir option as well there in the control section of the ladder.
Question on that. We were trying to figure out if this was something that you guys are drawing out for just the east ladder or for both?
It's still in the works for both. Yeah.
So this is kind of a generic idea of both. And are they that similar? I'm trying to remember.
They're pretty similar.
I've been there, but I can't remember.
They're pretty similar.
Would these antenna locations be completely independent of the crowders? So no matter how much you have crowders.
Yeah, so one of the issues that we, you know, because at McNary North, it's a fixed count slot. There's no crowder, and it's fixed at like 19-something inches. Frankly, when you go out there, it's a pretty long count slot and pretty high velocities through it. I don't know, honestly, if they've had any real, you know, passage issues there, but it would make, you know, me a little bit nervous to fix it at that narrow level, especially, you know, you got more fish.
Yeah, so we have some thoughts about that, too. If you want to get into those kind of detail today. Another meeting to get into those kind of details, or what?
It depends on...
Do you want this done or not?
We spent a lot of time. Well, I'd have a meeting, like, next week to do it. I wouldn't wait long, but I don't know that you want to sit through all this discussion or not today either, but...
I think one of the key things to consider that I kind of keep having to come back to, with, you know, like the guys from Pacific States and Sandy, is that... It's really clear from a pit perspective that the count slot is the best alternative. It's easy to access. You could almost, you know, pull it in or put it in, pull it out for maintenance, even within the season if you really had to. It's very accessible. Plus, you get, you know, 100% detection efficiency out of two antennas rather than having to remove a weir and, you know, wire that up and have access issues for that.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense from a pit perspective. What we're looking into and where the work is going to go for the core is trying to figure out we have some conceptual drawings from Pacific States here on kind of what they were thinking you could do. But then we have to translate that into real structural modifications and see what the limitations are. One of the key limitations, for example, is, you know, obviously shielding of the antenna, but also how much do we have to excavate of the floor? Because these are elevated sections, well, not at the north, but, you know, you've got an elevated ladder, so there's only so much excavation of concrete that you can do to accommodate pit antenna and not have it
rebar
raised. Exactly. And the other thing is that it does involve lengthening the count slot. All of their concepts do, because we want to be able to use that crowder.
Well, not all of them. I mean, their second alternative doesn't slot at all. It doesn't change
anything. Something they were talking about on the spillway antennas, Gary, is these ferrite tiles that they talked about, and that was for shielding,
for
correct?
For Bonneville, especially with the spillway.
For shielding, because of rebar and things like that. So, and I don't know what these ferrite tiles look like, but I think something pretty thin. So,
The key is, though, you have the existing configuration. You got to remove something unless you're narrowing the count slot itself by some degree. You have to change the count station structurally to accommodate that.
Right.
There may be some fairly easy ways to do that.
There is, I think. I guess I didn't look closely enough. I just looked at these drawings, and I didn't realize that this was just Pacific States concept, and
it
didn't have core.
There's no core stamp on these
on that, so that bothers me. because now I don't know
if they're structurally feasible.
Yeah, I mean, whatever my comments are.
Well, that's exactly what we're saying, is that there's.
I think
this will take some work to figure out what will actually work.
Okay, so then there's not much use in us saying much of anything at this point.
That's
what I would
where
do
I was
going to
go.
Get those guys in the room, have you guys look at this. We'll come in with our engineers and we'll have a discussion.
Engineers.
Whoever else wants to
do you have more than one?
I'd like to.
And whoever else, yeah, open. It's an open forum, yeah. Obviously, you know. Obviously, have everybody there, but I definitely seems to make more sense that you guys still haven't had a chance to look at this in pretty much detail. We're on board with the cut windows, okay? That's one thing that's changed. So we're on board with doing this. We have some preferences and some dislikes from what we've seen here, but I assume you guys do too, and some others may also. So, you know, the engineers and everything. So. You know, a chance to talk through those, but these are encouraging to me. You know, I'm a little concerned about their 6-foot lengthening.
You like that one?
option, whatever, third one.
Which one?
Option three. Basically, they put both antennas in front. So they make
the
big
front.
I mean, that makes sense, but why put so much concrete in there? Why not just put the antennas without putting the excess concrete on there?
Yeah, the antennas are 1 inch.
Hold them in place like that. You're not changing the dimensions.
I think probably one is the best. I think two, from the structural standpoint, there's a lot of problems there. We'd like it best from a hydraulic standpoint because there is no hydraulic.
You don't change, yeah. No,
but
change.
I think if you go with one, it starts to make sense. You've got about a 28-inch extension on the upstream and downstream sides.
Yeah. You'll
have to look at how that changes the pools. But it should have the least amount of effect versus a 6-foot.
Extension
reduction in size. I think that could be a problem. And you know, with that third one, we wouldn't probably put it in the front, we'd probably put it in the back side, because you're going to move your jump within the window. If you put it in the front, that jump's going to slide up 6 feet, and probably put it right there in front of you. You don't want it there. So I'd set it on the other end. That doesn't change the jump. But
plating could be interesting.
I don't think that one's a good one anyway. So I think. Sticking with the first one, if that's east or north, and both, I don't know.
Well, just from a tech read thing, you don't want your antennas that's
too close.
You want them farther apart,
right.
If at all possible.
That's the other thing.
I think they had, by the way, on three, I think they put it on the upstream side simply because of how close you were 153.
That's the problem. We saw that, and I was like, well, okay, you know, that's on one side.
Which side is this on?
On three. It's on the upstream.
That is the upstream?
It looks like it's built from the north or the east ladder perspective rather than the north ladder, too. Those two are going to be a little bit.
Yeah, these are all
east ladder. Right. Those changes will be.
Is the antenna east. That they have drawn here, is that just recommended or is that, this is, you know?
Water.
I assume this is the antenna.
Water's going this way.
And then just mount this antenna right down the end. Well, again, one of the when you look through some of the pros and cons that they list there, I mean, one of the things they keep bringing up is that you know we have they already have an antenna designed, built, tested, and everything. And some of these other applications, like for example, putting a swim through on top of a weir. Would take some R&D to you know find things
right here.
So this
2 to 6 years for the R&D.
And this is the swim through that they would require.
There's one on top of the weir, right?
Yeah.
On top of the weir, not the one through the.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's 1 inch thick.
I would just change.
So, in my biologist mind. This seems like it should be pretty simple.
It might have some typo on the drawing.
It's like 1 foot.
Oh, it's 1 foot.
I'm sorry.
In that corner. It's just touching on the corner.
Never mind.
It's touching, I think.
And in general, with the other alternatives, I mean, the thing you run into, again, is the excavation question. Yep. And, you know, for example, if you're putting a swim through on top of a weir, you know, how much bump out from the wall would be acceptable because I mean otherwise you're talking about excavating 12 to 14.
Yeah, they're telling us 12 to 24 inches they have to excavate into the walls.
For the shielding.
And we're like, even with the ferrite tiles. So we're like, well, wait a minute. You said only 8 inches if we had ferrite tiles. And they're like, oh.
But then,
so I can't even get an objective.
Well, there's
how much.
The confusing part there is that we're telling them we want it to be as flush as possible with the wall, the antenna itself. So
here's another thought that we were kicking around was actually instead of making these 3-foot openings, making 4-foot openings, and actually move those away from the slot width.
Mm.
And that, you know, you may lose a little bit of detection, but we don't need 100% here. We're not asking for 100%. So instead of a 3-foot wide slot, which is the width of the slot, a 3-foot wide antenna, you go with a 4-foot wide antenna, you move it back 6 inches on either side. That would improve the hydraulic effect of this extension, as well as maybe helping with, you know, some of the...
So it doesn't have to be flush with the
right.
It
doesn't have to be flush with the existing. It can be set back, and you could actually angle it a little bit.
Flange
it. That
would help us probably.
And they're building a model right now for, is it based on the East Constitution?
I don't know.
Is this a Hellcrafts type thing?
Solid model, CFD? Yeah. So they can start to model the hydraulics of
We would ask for that too, and that's going to be in our comments.
We have to ask those guys if they can do that, because 3 to 4 feet is about where you start getting into holes in the antennas.
No, we have this. We have the one in the corner, but that is not holes. That's 16 feet.
Of course, 16. It's a flinch. Is it a pass-through antenna?
Yeah.
17 feet.
17.
Tall, but how wide is it?
It has
17.
It's 17 by 17 square.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 17.
And they have no holes in it?
Oh, really?
No, I'm sure they do. The detection efficiency is only around 60%.
Okay.
Maybe a little higher.
It's better, but yeah. This is nowhere near that.
That's my point. Like if they barely have holes in that, and you're only going 4 feet.
If it was 2 flat panels side by side, then you probably got an issue, but this is still a familiar.
Yes, you got to pull it up.
I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. And we're not asking for 100% here anyway.
Oh, it's a big barrier.
Right.
Say, yeah, pretty big.
They don't think they need that antenna supercharged because you built it into it, so they've got it juiced.
For Sandy and
Darren
and those guys, yeah.
Has BPA and the Corps worked out a new MOA for pit installation?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up and not me.
I think Brad was working on that.
No, yeah. No, Brad wasn't, but... I seems like I heard they did come to an agreement. Do any of you guys know, or
we know it's been in the works for a long time.
Lower grants, go ahead.
My, I didn't say that.
Please.
I don't know what the agreement is, but it seems like they came to at least, you know, to an agreement, and I don't know if it's in writing yet and signed and all that good stuff. But
yeah, that's
agree not to agree with EPA.
No.
Yeah. So we asked that question an SCT ago, and they said, well, we're a lot closer, but it's not finalized. So it sounds like they're still at that not finalized phase.
And the reason was is because of some
money?
Headbutting.
No, never.
Path forward. I mean, there's little speed bumps out there, but it doesn't look like it's...
The thing I wanted to convey was it does... From a pit perspective, again, it does make a lot of sense to put it in the council. It makes the most sense.
Yeah, I understand that too.
But all the other considerations, we still have to go through that process and figure out what makes sense.
And I guess that got to the question is, because that was why 154 might be an interesting concept, because if we have to rebuild that anyways, that would allow you to get something in sooner, so you have data sooner, and then you can do the count station. If the count station doesn't make 13, you could at least... do that, because if they have to replace the whole weir anyways, that became the question.
Right. And one of the things, so that is one of the alternatives includes 154. And, you know, we were looking at, you know, replacing it with the alternative materials. So, you know,
fiberglass,
carbon
fiber. Fabricate it, and you could put the pits in it and just
jump
install
it in.
And fix it in place.
Yeah. Build it off-site.
Bring it in, haul it in.
And that brings up another thing. Is one of the things we also said we'd do is to look at ways we could potentially get something in place sooner.
Yeah.
Rather than later, but there's still kind of two concurrent paths here.
Yeah, this, Sandy called me and said we can get this in the same amount of time. You know, by God, or else.
From a pit perspective, yes.
I'm sure they could, if you don't care about structural.
About what?
That's yeah. Really quite difficult, because it's a whole bunch of steel sitting there, and yeah. it's moving now.
Okay, well, I said our support is contingent on 13. I mean, that's, I'm not losing sight of that, no matter what. That we want to get this thing in and working.
13, well, that's the disconnect, because if we're going to do a crowd, if we're going to move, if we're going to actually change the count station to not movable, that's a major redesign of the count station. So that's not going to happen for King, guys. So that's the disconnect is for what Noah wants, what Sandy wants. I mean, you all want it in 13. There's no way we're going to get that done in 13.
It's not a disconnect between what Sandy wants and what we want. It's a disconnect between what Noah wants and what the Corps can do.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, I
think there's an expectation from Sandy's part that this is no big deal.
Right.
Corps,
there is.
Just go and it's 13. It's easy. But
that's what she's telling
us.
We're saying
no. We may be able to do something that's not at the count station in 13. But doing the count station will definitely put us in the 14.
So could you describe, I don't understand why it would take longer to make the count station non-movable. Mm-hmm. I mean, couldn't you just move it in there and just keep it fixed and not move it? And then put the antenna in there, and if you ever took the antenna out, you could move the count station again?
Well, the whole count station is one thing. Two things, actually. The whole count station is all steel. Uh-huh. So you'd have to figure out some way to completely shield that, all the antennas from all that steel. So that's the one thing. The second thing is
So this is incorrect. These drawings are incorrect.
They're only conceptual drawings from dawn to dusk. So the second thing is that we've had some real resistance from the counters out in the field to keeping it fixed, because they have all the turbidity issues, and if they can't move it out or account for slugs of fish plus water issues, that's going to be contentious, and we're going to have to try to work through that detail and to fix it to some, like Sean was saying, 19 inches makes him nervous.
No, I don't want to go there.
So, I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, that's sort of the struggle that
Let's,
we begin.
Okay, we need to sit down and talk this through more carefully with the details.
Well, the thing is, with where we are on looking at these alternatives, it takes a lot of work to work through. I mean, Oz is here now. She's our structural engineer on the team. It takes a lot of work to really work through, you know, what would work in that section. It's great that Pacific States has these conceptual ideas on the ways, because they learned a lot from their McNary South experience where they retrofitted a council.
Right.
And we'll learn from that for sure. But, you know, you'll still need to come up with plans and specs for redesigning a count station.
Well, I was thinking that the part of this was actually inside of these antennas. So things are moving inside of them. Yeah, that's what they're drawing.
Yeah, they're trying to make it as easy as possible, but, you know, let's leave everything as it is best as possible.
What we need is drawings. We need, whenever we have this discussion, we need specific drawings for
more
both
detailed drawings.
John at Dallas, as well as these ideas to superimpose on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas and reality here, because I guess our endorsement of this idea is contingent upon getting this done as soon as anything else.
Right.
That's what I've been told, and that's what Richie's been told. And so what I want to know is what you guys are saying. If going to the count windows puts this off to other years, then we're back to Weir's. We're back to other alternatives.
Well, but then they come back and say, well, we have 2 to 6 years of R&D. So we're kind of in a catch-22 here, guys.
Like, even if we put it into what I was going to mention was, like, 154 seems like a good opportunity, but you still have the issue of you've got these overflow weirs, and I'd imagine that just having two orifices isn't going to be enough to...
Why not put flat plates in those overflows, though? Why is that a problem?
Same issue. I mean, it hasn't been done.
Yeah, they haven't already been
done.
No,
we've done it.
Yeah, and the question
that's old stuff. That's
cool. Yeah.
And the question is that's assuming that you want to get 100%. If Noah's saying we can slide with 100%, because I don't think.
Well, we already did.
Yeah, we've already said that. We've shown you the details.
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to remember. I don't think we've seen a lot of usage of those overflows in that section.
Well,
Well, it depends on the species.
That's what I'm saying.
The false chinook, they tend to use them more than spring chinook and steelhead, but I still, an overflow weir is just another flat plate. That's not a big deal. It's, yeah, so those fish don't go over the top of the flow, they go through the bottom of it, you know, so they're going to be, their bellies are going to be rubbing almost on that. Mm-hmm. It's just a flat plate.
Well,
you know, it's just, I realize you're next to the wall. And so that's, do you move them in a little bit and get away from the wall? That's an issue. Well, do you have to? Can you move them in? Where does that weir have to be? And what
do you have to have orifices at the corners, or could you move it in a little bit? Like, say, move it in.
We can modify whether we can talk about it and do whether we want it, but it's all dependent on the hydrology of that. And then you go through the modeling and see if.
We would have to look at that. We'd have to look at that pool, exactly.
Yeah. But that's, if you move them like 6 inches, though, you're not going to change that drops that pool.
Just enough to get them away from the wall. Yeah. That's all I'm talking about.
Or just give yourself the shielding you need.
Six inches or a foot.
6 inches is not going to be enough. 8 at least. And all depend on the number is changing. They'll give us some.
That's what I need for
that. There's other behavior. Each time we are talking, they have a new technology and the number is changing. Right. And that is the other thing we are kind of like a struggle with it. Therefore, it's all depend on, you know, which option we wanted and how much money we wanted to spend to figure out which option we wanted to go on.
And that, yeah, and that's the struggle I'm having Sandy really wants the council. And so when
Sandy doesn't have a lot of say.
Sandy doesn't have the final say on this week. So, I mean, at least that's what Noah wants.
Yeah,
so,
I know. So what my struggle is that I'm struggling to get a real objective. If we get an overflow, this is the need.
Let's get everybody in the room. Let's get everybody in the same room. Let's do have a discussion.
Push us toward that. Front, and that's what I mean by
that's where the crowd is.
And right now, I'd be happy just to have.
So as long as they get in 10
away. We're it's 154. I'd be happy with one in one ladder.
Yeah.
That would give us a start.
Yeah.
And we would start getting data immediately with that, because we're just looking for a population of fish, starting at the Dalles.
The Dalles.
To chase them up the river and find out what they do. So you know, you know what we're after. You know, you've seen the Steve Smith spreadsheet on precision and estimates and all that. Even that's, you know, that can be adjusted backwards too, as far as we're concerned. But we just like to get something going on this as soon as possible. And as soon as possible, being 2014, 15, or 16 is not necessary.
Well, there are other ways to get information.
Plus, I'm hearing two different things, because Sandy's in an email that this thing is completely independent of the crowder. Like you could have
these. That's true. It is.
Well, you're saying that. Well, you're saying something different though. You were saying that the reason it's being held up is because this crowder needs to be fixed.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. She wanted a fixed crowder.
No. The original, when we originally started talking about that, that was
the original plan.
That was gonna. That's what they have in McNary North. It works really well and all this, but all their concepts here are assuming that the crowder stays in place.
That's what I'm saying.
No, the
crowder stays there, but you can still move the crowder in and out.
Right.
Their designs to do that, because if the crowder's actually inside of that, if you look at their options.
So to me, that gets back to what's the hold up.
Shows
the
crowder.
It like holds it up. No, it's not. The hold up is questions about how much
shielding, structural,
and excavation. But it's totally independent of the crowder.
That comes back to the design, which I think we need to focus on.
Exactly, and that's what we're looking into with each of these is to look at what's needed.
Well, but let's not go down every one of these. Let's do a weeding of this and focus quicker on what you guys need to go through for your structural analysis.
Well, I think you'd want to do a first cut. It's like, is there one of these that has the least structural impact?
Right.
And if that's acceptable,
why can't
then
we
move forward with that?
That might be a different question.
Why would we do something smart like that? I don't know. Just do keep doing what you guys do, because this is only going to screw my agency, so you guys just... I kind of...
That's exactly
whoa, he's waking up.
I know what you guys are doing long ago. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out what you guys are doing.
The alternative study is that.
Why would I just be
going through that
it's time to take you out of the loop.
And we cannot just jump to conclusion or go beyond.
You guys don't like accurate information?
Yeah.
So you catch that, Tom? That's exactly what we're doing in this process, is trying to figure out whether an overflow weir, for example, is a quicker, it might actually be quicker from a structural.
I'm just trying to tell this group that that's what you're going to do.
You're planting the seed.
Yes, I'm trying to.
Okay, so it sounds like we're going to have more dialogue on this, but I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm. My question is with the path forward.
So
on this.
Well,
on this.
We don't have the right people in the room to get the whole, because we need Sandy and the pit tag people to be here besides the core structural folks and hydraulic folks. And we need to have Ed Meyer here as our hydraulic engineer. So, but as soon as possible, I don't want to wait till April to have a meeting.
So why don't you let us finish at least how these all play out into our actual count stations?
And actually, we start modeling those, like every alternative, we start modeling those and kind of have it in the table. In a case, we pick one, at least we did a half a, you know, half a job, and we can go through the rest of it. We are doing, you know, some work here and try to have everything ready. Whenever the alternative is ready, at least we can go for it, go for the design, right?
I was just hoping that we could narrow your focus down a little bit.
One of the most productive conversations we could have is about those concerns about how much of a bump out from the wall would be acceptable from a passage consideration.
Right.
How much time and energy do you want us to spend on looking at the hydraulics of that versus
how sensitive is it? Exactly.
Because time-wise, I mean, we could more or less remove a weir and put something in place if we could come out from the wall by a foot, you know.
Right.
We found even company who do the fiberglass, the whole weir from, you know, made of fiberglass, and we can go about it very fast. But all is about we want it to go that way or we don't want it to go that way.
Right. Well, that's
that would help us eliminate alternatives if it's not acceptable to have big bump outs from the wall, for example.
Well, I guess the question would be, I think you'd need to find out from the pit tech people, it's like, how much of a bump out do you need? Is it going to be 2 feet, a foot,
okay,
6 inches, 8 inches?
Right. We asked that,
and that's the point.
Each time we have a different, and that is not I don't know that's whose fault, but it's not anybody's fault, but the criteria is changing. And I believe that was the same problem they had in 2007 or 2008.
Well, we can help nail it down.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you have a combination of ferrite tiles plus move out, that might be a
and a fiberglass.
We may just have to go back to our and internally and say, put it down on a piece of paper and be done with it.
Give us some clear objective stuff.
Okay.
So we can.
So is that something you
I don't
can
want
do
you guys
there?
Doing looking at four different. Yeah, absolutely.
That's something.
I don't want because I don't want you guys looking at four or five different alternatives if they're already losers for one reason or another that we can eliminate up front. So narrow down to what the core is spending time on, because you guys don't need to spend time on something that's not, we're going to say no to anyway.
Yeah, we would be upset.
Yeah, well,
I'm
from
the
fish.
We
yeah,
love this
one. And I mean, that's what I want to eliminate. If alternative three, no. Get the hook, it's gone. Don't bother.
So one of the reasons why I printed out packets for you guys to take home was to get some input. This is just, I mean, this isn't 30% report.
Oh, I know. No, this is just conceptual.
But
this
brings exactly sense. Like what you were just saying, if folks have strong feelings about one way or another about some of these alternatives.
Let's get them out of there. I think this is really narrowing down to me to get that weir, either the weir or one of these would be, and if we can get one of these in the same time frame, that's what we'd want. Otherwise, it maybe just do the weir and then come back and do this at a later date if we felt that we had to have the higher efficiency. But then there's the north ladder, which is
higher efficiency.
A whole different.
I think the north ladder would be a little bit easier. That's just
you don't know yet.
Oh, yes, I do.
No matter what.
This is a key conversation that we have.
He can't be at any more meetings on this, okay? Don't invite him.
100% efficiency.
A non-accords meeting.
What? I didn't know you had those. Oh, wait a minute. Those are the action agency meetings.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Kinda.
No, that's fine. Eventually, but yeah, that's it.
I especially would value input on fish passage and kind of hydraulic considerations.
Yeah, we spent, that's what Ed and I spent about an hour yesterday talking over, so I can put these talking thoughts into a memo and send it to you.
Please.
after I get through with the Dallas emergency.
And
I can't say that because I don't want this to be new for me. So.
And you're going to talk internally or
we'll talk
Sandy
with
Sandy
about narrowing down the quad, the criteria for shielding, especially, it sounds like. So, and, you know, she's going to push back and she's going to want, and I can see us ending up in a discussion with everybody in the room, which I think would be the best idea, so that I don't have to say he said, she said, whatever. Especially, I don't understand any of it.
Okay, so the path forward then is Gary's going to talk to Sandy, identify acceptable criteria. Are we setting up a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would suggest is that we just, you know, we have our regular PDT meetings, and I would suggest
bringing us in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Guide us.
Scheduling wise, that's probably.
Let us know when it's.
Let us know your schedule. So, Sean, you'll send out schedule for the PDTs?
Every other Tuesday.
Meetings?
Starting with?
At 9.
Which week?
No, 10 to 11.
It's more of the question, are you going to have one next Tuesday or are you going to have one the Tuesday after?
Yeah, starting which week? We had it,
therefore the week after
that. Won't be next Tuesday, Tuesday after, which is actually
so later. So we probably would need it.
To everyone except for Tom.
Okay,
if you want
so you're thinking March?
I've got
a few anyway to get her safe.
We got it within our drawings. Can we do anything?
I would.
Leaving in April, so before
you go. Yeah, I would definitely. I don't want to wait. I mean, if this is, you know, each one of these meetings will help, I think, eliminate some
alternative
issues that you're having to deal with. So
yeah.
The more often you.
I think we. I agree. I think we should.
So sometime
end of
March.
End of February.
Well, so my concern is that I don't think we're going to have analyzed exactly how it fits in our current count station.
But you don't even know what it is at this point. I'm hearing some of that discussion yet. I would think tomorrow would be a good day for me. Just the fact that it's Saturday, I know, but sooner the better. I think there's a good chance that we can narrow things down at the very beginning of this to avoid you guys having to run down costly roads.
Yeah, I'll send an email out with a bulleted list of the things that we want to nail down in this meeting, like the shielding question.
Yeah, then we can just, as soon as it gets set down, that's because next week after next Tuesday, I know I'm up at the Dallas on meeting. Hey, we can have it there.
You can be there.
That's the Dallas. It's not Wasco.
Okay.
Oh, God. Medication.
I'm letting Julia.
Move on to Lamprey.
Yeah. So, Brad, I just wanted to make sure to change my name to Don Saldana to me on that last stuff we just talked about.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I guess I have an older one.
You have the draft.
Sorry.
Good luck on that.
Okay, so within the stuff that Sean gave you, I think he put, did you provide this question?
No. I can go through this. We're basically at more or less at 100% plans and specs for that gravity flow system for the Washington Shore lamprey bloom system. And we're at this point now where
Seven A agenda.
7A lamprey program.
Washington Shore letter.
Part of this package.
No.
We've moved off. We're back to normal agenda. Bill and Brad sent out.
It is discussing
number 7A.
It's on my sheet.
This is the Bonneville Washington Shore
here.
North downstream entrance.
I spell confusion.
So where we are right now is that actually Monday, more or less, the package has got to be final for both of them. You know, any changes to the flume system itself and then also the gravity flow component of that. One of the things that came up recently that I wanted to chat with you all about was the notion of the bar spacing on the upper and lower entrances.
4 inches.
And I'll pass a drawing around just to refresh your memory, but I'm going to cross off the... this is from last year's design, but no pumps. But the entrances themselves haven't changed in terms of their location or orientation. So just pass that around to jog your memories. But The lower entrance is this big 15 foot wide by 2 foot tall opening with bars spaced at 1 inch, and the idea is to exclude salmon but allow lamprey passage. And there was quite a bit of discussion about that when we were designing this back in 2010. And, you know, the 1 inch is what we figured was the most conservative in terms of a salmon perspective. And so we went with that. The upper entrance is 11 foot by 2 feet, same basic height dimension. It's a vertically oriented though, so the flow is actually going down into the water. But per some of the design discussions for the McNary south entrance concept for Lamprey there, I know you guys probably fill me in because I wasn't at the last Erdic trip, but there's quite a bit of discussion about how big an opening you want to have on a similar concept.
We've said a lot where on the floor.
There's a risk, if a salmon gets in, there's nowhere for them to go. They could get injured, kill it, take impact kind of situation. And you guys, I believe, for that system settled on 2 inches for the gap.
For those entrances that lead to kind of a cul-de-sac or a bad situation.
Yeah, right.
That was
2 inch clear to our center.
Clear.
Clear. Clear. Clear. Clear. Yeah. Middle. Good.
So, Gary and I were talking last week, and he brought this up, and I know Trevor asked about this, you know, before working on the McNary. And this actually speaks to just a broader question that I really want to get nailed down pretty soon, because it affects all sorts of things like raising picket leads. It's a different, totally different scenario, but we're dealing with the same question about what's a very real, you know,
picket leads are very
gap that in terms of exclusion of salmon and shad too in that situation.
They are in the same category, really. One's in a ladder and the other one's
right. No, but I mean the point is that we're having either operational issues or, you know, these design questions like this that pop up, and, you know, it'd be helpful for the core when we're designing
criteria?
These things.
You want criteria?
Developing a criteria. Yeah.
Okay. We'll give you criteria for this one.
So.
Yeah.
We're working with a lot of unknowns on this one. I mean, no one really knows what the smallest size is that the salmon can't get through, and, you know, big enough for a lamprey to get through. We have some evidence with video. You know, we have evidence of sockeye at least trying to get through 2.5 inch openings and getting through 3 inch or something. But, you know, what we really need, if we want to nail down some criteria, is some kind of like SRWG type study where they go
you don't have to do the old school flume studies.
Otherwise, we're just guessing, and then, if we guess, we're just going to have to monitor it.
I suspect that you could probably do a literature review and come up with some criteria like girth measurements, for example. You know, a fish could pass through a certain space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we may have to do a study, and that was going to be one of my suggestions, is to start thinking about this for next year.
Well, we are. I mean, we are looking at Walla Walla's looking with cameras at a lot of these slots to see what salmon do. So, in effect, it's a study. It's not.
But it's not variant sizes.
Yeah.
So you have one particular size.
You don't have controls. It's not a controlled study. It's an observation.
But it is some information for sure.
Yeah, it is information. I feel pretty comfortable with 2 inch. If you're in a situation where you got an 13 foot
opening
right above it. The salmon are going to dink around with that 2-inch opening when they've got that right there. But if you're in a ladder, pick a lead situation.
And there's only one way. There's only one way to get through.
That's a different situation. Very, very different. But in this case, 2 inches, we spent quite a bit of time talking about this at Erdic the last time, and we arrived at about a 2-inch as being our comfort level for these kind of entrance openings in a situation where we thought the fish, if they did get in, would be pretty much end of story for them. So I think I would, I would go along with that. And the only thing is, we've also said that you need to develop some post-construction evaluation of that, because you can always change the sizes if you need to.
It's just a grading.
We are planning on installing a ditson, but it's going to be hard at that depth to get direct observation.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to use
it'd be something else.
Infrared, or you'd have to
Ditson would work at depth.
It would. Depth shouldn't be specific.
No, I'm talking about the configuration. Getting a ditson aimed right there, right up. I think we can do it. Right, that's what we're aiming for. But
we dump the ball. That'd be difficult.
Yeah. The one of the considerations for this specific design, we were talking with the team about. Because in the plans and specs, again, you have bar space at 1 inch, and all those plans and specs are done. And so we're trying to, the team was having a discussion yesterday about, okay, how do you change the specs with the amount of time that we have?
Does it change anything that much?
You have to make some sort
of... It's more an open area.
So...
It's more than 2 inches, so when we actually have the structural people look at what would actually happen, and I don't know if Sean has already said this, but we would take out every other bar.
Right.
Now make a note but it to gives take you out every other bar.
2.25-inch opening, and we don't want, and so we know that you said two.
2.25.
So we're trying to say, well, it's
make
two
the bars
and a
that you do put in
a little
thicker.
Why can't you just revise the drawing for 2 inch space instead of take out?
Not enough time.
Not enough time.
Can you make the bar thicker?
That'd be the thing to do. Take out every.
Sorry, what was that?
Make every other bar and make the bars thicker.
Make
thicker
the bars thicker.
Well, they talked about that, and I don't know.
I mean, I think
they were on the thin side. They're like 1/4 inch or something like
they
that.
They were very thin. Yeah, we were really worried about deflection anyway. So.
So.
Yeah, but they're not that big. That's. I mean,
they're 2 feet tall. How wide are the? I mean, they're 1/4 inch wide, but how kind of deep are they?
I don't know.
You know, are they like
either cylinder or
4 inch?
4 inch thick or what?
No. It's on the order of
1 inch.
Yeah, 1 to 2.
See that your deflection.
Because you can just grab those and just bend them out, you know. And that would worry from a sand perspective if a rock could go in there and bend those bars out.
That's the thing is the water system itself is screened.
Right, but I'm just talking about reverse flow, kind of like with the spillway at Bonneville, all the rocks getting tossed up on top of it. Situation like that.
Flow's going out, so you should. There should be. It would be very hard for something to get sucked
into.
What's
the span? What's the unsupported span?
15 for the lower, 11 for the upper.
Okay, that's not very much.
Inches.
15 feet. Inches.
15 feet.
That's a lot.
By 2 feet.
Unsupported span for those. 15
feet. No, it's 2 feet. 2 feet tall.
2 feet.
By 15.
The span is 2 feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's.
I mean, if you went to a 3/8 bar,
the upper one
that would cover your 1/4 inch that you're saying. If you went to a 3/8 bar instead of a 1/4 inch bar, I think you would.
That would get you really close to 2 inches.
You'd be right at 2 inches.
Why? That seems like there's a slam dunk.
Is that something that can be changed or not?
That's the.
Or is there a weight
question?
Well, there can't be. You're just taking every
bar. Yeah, that would be a redesign. So, I mean, because it's not done by us, it's done by a contractor. We would have to do a contract mod.
Yeah, but that's
so simple. It's not our drawing, and we're not stamping them.
So why could you remove every other bar, but you couldn't make a call for the bars?
Because it's not structural.
It's a fabrication note or something, right?
Well, you guys got
the one other option you could do is, which is, you figure out what it is, there's something called a sleeve. Have the project build some sleeves before it gets installed, have them go out and put the sleeves on it, drop it, and away you go. Would be the other thing to do.
I guess the question for the group is, yay or nay, is 2.25 acceptable? If not, then I'll work with the team to figure out the best way that we try to get
it. Is there a way within our time frame, because we can't delay we have to go out to advertisement, we have to stay on schedule, we have no quote.
Boy, this just seems so simple to me, I'm having trouble with it.
I know,
it's take out every one and then replace the bars that you're using with a little thicker bar.
Or just leave it.
No, just use thicker bar.
Just do it at the bottom. I mean, so another compromise is we could just do them on the bottom.
I know how contracts
are. That's where you think the salmon will be most likely. Thursday. We can keep it really safe up there.
I think this is why it'd be nice to have a real
number
on criteria so that we're not arguing over quarters.
Right, over
something to base.
Yeah, we have nothing to base that on. Exactly. I mean, we're fine with 2. We've established that.
Let's just stick with it.
Is okay.
Okay. I'll see what we can.
Are you guys really going to quibble over 2 1/4?
Really? Yep.
Over 1/4 inch?
I'm just checking.
From that point, yes.
Because well, the next thing you know, the canary's coming out. It's all right, 2 1/4. Sounds good. 2 1/4
is good. So then there'll be another one. There'll be Ice Harbor.
Be 2 1/2 because you're just going to quibble over 1/4?
I'm just going to round it up to 2 1/2. That's a very common measurement.
There's a bunch of sockeye in every one of them. Pretty soon you're back to being critically endangered.
Okay, are we done with that?
No.
Oh, no.
That's a good question. I'll chat with you guys some more, though, about some ideas on how to nail down some of this criteria. Because I feel like we could do it with... I don't even think you need a behavioral study, necessarily. I think you could use carcasses to figure out what, you know, what... If you're wanting to be conservative...
Can you push you them through?
Yeah, what could they fit together?
Frozen or non-frozen?
Frozen? Yes or no. Yes or no.
Human and non-human.
Rather than relying on...
Frozen to test deflection.
Exactly. And then thawed to actually check.
I mean, you could do some micrometer for that. And just
find the smallest sockeye in the rod.
I want to keep it simple, but I want to nail down... There's no way a fish could get in here, or there is a fish can get in here. Size ranges that you
know. Well, looking at Bonneville, at the Picket Leads, there's no way that sockeye are going to get through.
That's my concern.
Oh, wait a minute.
They did. Oh, no, Bob. You get a small one, they can probably squeeze through. It's going to be more behavioral. Is a sockeye really going to want to?
We have more and more mini jacks coming in the river.
I don't give a rat's about mini jacks.
But the current criteria is 1 inch.
I know.
We get sockeye behind the Washington Shore Picket Leads.
That's because your picket leads yards a little waviness there.
Bend.
So. No, I personally don't have a big issue on this one. I don't. At this location, I would be stymied if a sockeye did it. But if a fish would do it, it would be a sockeye. I'd be dumb enough to try it.
Sockeye that would do it.
Yeah. Plus, you'd be getting shot in there, too, and clogging up your entrance or something.
No, that's food for the lamprey.
Yeah.
Hunting carcasses.
Are you going to have juveniles this time?
Exactly. Fun patch. For the juveniles.
Be thinking about it.
You don't know, that's where they're going to spawn.
Okay, so we're on to the adult studies, salmon
stealing
studies.
Just before that, I mean, let's be thinking about it. I don't think that's a good way to leave
for this. SRWG, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you need an answer.
Well, I heard the answer.
No.
He's talking about the study. He's
talking about the study.
Yeah, that's fine.
But
you're okay with the 2 inch. I mean, we're just saying 2 inch. Let's stick with that for now. It's double what you had. Well, it's double what you had. I mean, you got 100% improvement, and you're not happy.
Look at that. A little bit more. Just a wee bit more. Well, I think
you only gave us an inch. We wanted the mile.
That's what it's about. Well, you want a quarter more.
Here we are arguing over an inch, and we're trying to figure out where to even put a bypass unit in those Willamette projects.
We're arguing over a quarter of an inch.
Quarter of an inch, yeah.
So I guess the question is, if it's going to cause huge problems, come back to the group. If you think you can come up with something, is that where I'm understanding Noah's direction is? Alter it as best you can. If it's going to be a showstopper, i.e. put delays on it, you'll come back and tell us, like, oh, God, we're now.
I have to have an answer. No, we're set by Monday. So, I mean, I'm going to be right after this meeting.
I know you're going
to
be.
Brent Welton trying to figure out how we can make it work or not.
Scrub bars.
Talk to us about it. Maybe we can all chip in and buy 3/8-inch bar and take it to the fabricator.
We actually would have them. If you need it, let us know.
Just build the damn thing, bring it out to the Bonneville. We'll
fix it
for you
there. It's
2 inches. I'll bring my welder. What's that?
It's 2 inches. Oh, you want to measure it?
Here, use our tape measure.
Here's the scuba tank. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's going to be more of the question. Like, Dave, just dive
in.
The only
thing I had to mention, I don't have any, Wertheimer's not here, but I don't have any studies going on this year, personally, for the adult.